August 29th, 1937. How God wants to see his life in the soul who lives in his will and reaches the point of making himself her model. Gifts which God gives to the creature. The space of the human will. Divine chamber for the marvels of God. My flight in the divine volition continues. Its attractions and its charming manners become more insistent. Its yearning to live in the soul is such that it assumes the attitude now of prayer, now of supplication, now of promise, to the extent of promising new gifts to the creature, more beautiful and unexpected, as long as she lets it reign. Only the ungrateful could resist so many attentions. But while my mind was crowded by so many supplications and sighs of the divine fiat, my sweet Jesus, my dear life, repeating a short little visit, all goodness, as though wanting to pour out his love, told me, "Blessed daughter of my will, if you knew into what a maze of love we are put by those who do not live in our will. I can say that for each act they do, for each word, thought, heartbeat, and breath in which we don't see the life of our will flowing, our love remains repressed. It feels a sorrow. It bursts into tears. It moans and sighs because it does not find its life, its act, its heartbeat, its word, and the sanctity of our intelligence in the creature. Seeing itself left out as though cast aside from inside the creature and from everything she does, it feels its love being extinguished, its arms being tied, and it feels it cannot carry out its crafting within her. My daughter, what sorrow! Being able to give life and not giving it. Being able to speak in the human word and being reduced to silence because the creature gives it no place within her word. Being able to love with our love in her heart and finding no place in which to put it. Oh, how our love remains hampered, almost with no life, for one who does not live in our will. Now, you must know that when the soul does enact in our divine will, God makes himself her model, and the act becomes the material necessary to receive the divine model. So, our more than paternal goodness is all attentive to see everything that the soul living in our will does, as she is about to think, speak, or operate. So does it seal within her the model of its wisdom, the model of its creative word, and the sanctity of its works. Our love is so great that we want to make ourselves life of our life, heartbeat of our heart, love of our love. Our delirium of love is such that we want to make the facsimiles of us. And only with one who lives in our will can we obtain our intent. Nor would we lack the material adaptable to receiving our model. After this, he added, with emphasis even stronger, "My daughter, our love is so great that we do nothing other than give continuous gifts to the creature. The first gift was the whole creation. Then came the creation of man. How many gifts did we not give to him? Gifts of intelligence, in which we place the model, the mirror, of our sacrosanct Trinity. The eyes, the hearing, the speech, were all gifts that we gave to him. And not only did we give him the gifts, but we also assumed our preserving and creative role in order to keep these gifts, while remaining in act of always giving them. Our love in donating our gifts is such that we do not detach ourselves from the gift we give, but we remain inside the gift we have given in order to keep it more safe and secure. Oh, how exuberant is our love, how it binds us everywhere. And while it makes us give, it does not leave the gifts at the mercy of the creature, because she would not have the virtue to preserve them. Therefore, we offer ourselves to keep them. And in order to love the creature more, we place ourselves in act of giving them constantly. And how much more should I tell you, my daughter, of the great gift we gave to the creature in creating the human will in him? Just as we created the space first, and then the sky, the stars, the sun, the air, the wind, and so forth, so that the space was to serve us to be able to create our other works. To create them, and to have nowhere to put them, would not be a work worthy of our wisdom. In the same way, by creating the human will, we created the space, the place in which to put the great gift of our most holy will that we gave to man. This space was to serve our operating will, which was to place in it more extensive heavens and more refulgent suns, and not just once, but as many times as it would operate. Therefore, while creation was to serve man, this space of the human will was to serve his God, for him to form his delights, to be able to always operate and form his own resting place, his throne, his divine chamber. I gave to man this gift. I formed this space within him in order to have the place in which to converse with him and be one-on-one with him in sweet company. I wanted to have my secret room. My love wanted to tell him many things, but I wanted the apartment in which to talk to him, and in which my love could reach the extent of giving itself prey to men, and men prey to God. This is why I love so much that it live in our will, because I want what I created to be only for myself. I demand my resting place, my throne, my divine chamber. Hence, until man comes back into my divine will and gives me my royal place inside his will, I cannot accomplish the creation. We have so many more beautiful things to do inside our space of the human will, so many more things to say, but we can neither do them nor say them, because not finding our will, we find our space cluttered. Therefore, we have no place in which to put our works. And if we want to speak, he will not understand us, nor will he have the hearing to listen to us. This is why we will make unheard of prodigies in order to reacquire what is ours, our space, and our divine room. You pray and suffer, so that I may have back what is mine, and never deny me the space of your human will, so that my love may pour itself out, and my works may resume the work of creation.